Pastor Brandon, for the reading of the scripture and leading us in a word of prayer. Before I get into the message tonight, let me remind you that next week or so we're going to build some poinsettia trees and give you an opportunity to purchase some of those poinsettia plants in order for all the proceeds to go toward the paying off of the mortgage. We'll make those available to you, some for $100 gifts, some $5,000 gifts, just whatever God lays on your heart to give. When you give toward the building fund, if you give check and you want to put it in an envelope, that's fine. Just make sure you put for the building payoff, okay? We want all the funds that are come in for that, we want it to go toward that. And the only way that we can really effectively do that is if you mark it on the check, or if you put it in one of these envelopes here, you make sure that it's for building or mortgage payoff. And that way, those who deal with the money, Brother Benny, Brother Tracy, and Sister Angela, can make sure that that goes to where you have designated it to go. We want to be that way because we believe that's the way God wants it. Amen. I just believe that if you want to give towards something, you ought to be able to do that within reason, of course. And if you want to give toward the building, then by all means, make sure that you mark it so that it goes toward that. All right? That way to keep down some confusion. I want to talk to you tonight about a secret. And the secret is really no secret. But there's a lot of people who are troubled in their Christian life. They're struggling. I spoke with a man this morning and he's struggling. And he's on my heart heavy on my heart. He's struggling because he doesn't understand the truth that I'm going to share with you tonight. Now, I pray that you would do more than just understand this truth. I pray that you would make it operable in your life, that you would take the truth that I'm going to give you tonight and you would put it into practice into your life. There's a lot of people that are just going through the motions in their Christian experience. And for me to think that in a Sunday night crowd even, that there would not be somebody here tonight that maybe would be just kind of going through the motions or just kind of hanging on or just holding out or just doing all they can, just struggling, but yet they continue to do what they do because of duty or because they know it's the right thing, character in their life. Listen, that's commendable. But the Christian life is not to be endured. The Christian life is to be enjoyed. And I want to help you tonight to enjoy your Christian life. How do you enjoy this experience that we call Christianity? How do you enjoy this experience of knowing God? Brethren, we know God. I cannot wrap my mind around that, but I know that it's so. I know the God of heaven personally. Talk to him every day. You do too if you're saved. And he talks with me. And he tells me, as the songwriter said, that I am his own. There's no greater feeling in all the world than to know that I belong to the God of heaven. Amen. Listen, they sang that song this morning, and I am in no way speaking negatively toward that song where it says, he is mine. He is mine. And I'm glad he is mine. But I want to tell you something better than he is mine. I am his. Amen. I am his. I belong to him. And I am so grateful for that. And so I want to talk to you about the thing that's going to help you in your Christian experience more than I believe anything in all the Word of God and all the Christian experience. It's praise. Praise. Did you know that the Bible has more to say about praise than it does prayer? The Bible has more to say about praise than it does heaven. The Bible has more to say about praise than it does hell, sin. As far as I can tell, the Bible speaks about praise more than any one singular subject that there is. Praise. Praise. What is praise? Why does God command that we praise Him? What happens when we praise Him? I guess really a more searching question is, am I praising Him? Am I praising God? Or am I just going through some ritualistic verbiage of repeating what I've heard other people do? Can I ask you a personal question? Are you praising God in your life? Do you really know what it is to praise the God of heaven? Did you know the Bible says that God has an address? You know what God's address is? You say, yes, in heaven, preacher. That's not what the Bible says. Now, God is in heaven, but God is not only omnipotent, God is omnipresent. God shows up, listen to me, where people are praising Him. Psalm 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest. You know what it is to inhabit something? It means to stay there, to live there. You want to know where God's address is? He's inhabiting the praises of His people. God will show up where people are praising Him. Has God shown up at your house lately? Has God shown up in my life lately? I mean, has God shown Himself in a real way? Has the presence of God permeated my life, my home, this church? Did you know that if we want God to show up on the scene every time here, it's a wonderful thing for us to pray that God would do that. But there's a guarantee that if we will praise Him from the Bible, there is a guarantee that God will show up every time we begin to praise Him. Did you know that? Take your Bible just for a moment. I want to show you. Just so you can know this, I would challenge you, Psalm 22, verse number 3, to commit this verse of Scripture to memory. And remember when you're riding down the road, remember when you're sitting at your desk, remember when you're out in the field of employment, or when you're sitting there in the chair of church service, or sitting up here, or standing up here, wherever, whatever you're doing, remember that God's address is where people are praising Him. Look at what the Bible says here in Psalm 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That's His people, nationally. Did you know we are God's people, positionally? And when God's people begin to praise Him, God shows up on the scene. Now, there's no guarantee that God's going to show up where His people meet. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that God's going to show up where people are singing or where people are praying. But there's a guarantee right here that God inhabiteth. God shows up. God dwells. God resides where people are praising Him. You praising Him? I want Fellowship Baptist Church to be known as a church that praises God. Now, I'm not talking about swinging from these lights. Actually, I wouldn't recommend that. I think they would fall. And if you can jump that high, we need to put you on the market. Amen. We'll make some money off of you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about doing cartwheels, though if you done one, it wouldn't offend me. All right? Listen, praising God can be a number of things, and I'm not going to go into it tonight. It could be the claps of the hands. It could be just standing in awe and giving glory to the God of heaven. Don't have to say a word to praise God. Do you know that? Don't have to verbalize it, but you can. You can say praise God and mean it. You can say glory, hallelujah. You can lift your hand, or you can lift your hands toward the heavens and praise the Lord. Are you praising God? Are you? What is praise? Well, praise is a form of worship. And worship is ascribing the worth to the one that you're worshiping. Did you know that our worship is given in direct proportion to the worth that we see in that in whom we are worshiping? Yeah. You don't know how much you're worshiping? Do inventory. I need to do this. What do I really think about God? Not what have I heard others say? Listen, it's easy to say things. And I know this, and you know this. And I'm speaking to you just straight from my heart, brethren. Listen to me. It's easy to get caught up. Folks been saved 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Some of you have been born on a church pew, raised in church. It's easy to hear it all. It's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to say what we do, but when we begin to evaluate and when we begin to do inventory, are we really praising God? Do we praise God at home? Some people say, well, I'm going to church to praise God. Don't come here to do it. Bring it with you. Come here to continue it. Amen. We don't come to church to start praising God. You ought to be praising God before you get here. I ought to be praising God on my way here. Why? Because The reason that I praise God is not because that I'm coming here. That's a good thing. Now, don't misunderstand me. But praising God, as we talked about this morning, it's a little different than giving thanks. I thank God that I can come here. But praising God has to do with who He is. When we begin to think of who God is, we ought to just break forth in praise. It's getting to know who God is. And I fear that if I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, that God will be just another name. Did you know that the name Jehovah, Yahweh, was so reverenced by the scribes in the early days that when they were writing the scriptures, they would put down that quill and they would get a new quill and they would use that to write the name Yahweh. And then they would dispose of it because of the respect. They didn't want to write another name, another letter, another word with that quill because they reverenced the name of Yahweh, Jehovah. Today, we use that word like it's just a gutter word. In frustration, people say, "Oh, my!" And then they'll say God's name. God, help me never to do that. God, please, I don't want to ever do that. That's using God's name in vain. That's taking God's name lightly. That's degrading the most precious name in all of heaven and earth. I don't want to do that. I don't believe you want to do that. But this old base nature, and there's a devil out there that tries to get us just... I've been in public and heard people use the name of Jesus vainly, profanely. As Christians, we need to be praising that name, praising God. So be careful how you use the name of God. Here, in we go back to Psalm 147, the psalmist said this. Turn there if you would. He said, I'm going to tell you what praising God will do for you. Praising God will do some things for us. In Psalm 147, I just want to go down and just mark a few things. Mark them in your Bible if you would. Psalm 147. He said the first thing that it does is praise reverences God. Write that down. It reverences God. Notice what he said here. He said, praise ye the Lord. That's not a suggestion. He said, praise him. Praise God. When God says praise him, do you praise him? When should I praise him, preacher? Day and night. Amen. With every breath you have. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Well, it'll be praising God. We are a murmuring. If we're not careful, we will be a murmuring, complaining people. And we need to be praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Let's look at what he said. He said, when we praise God, it reverences him. We have been created to praise God. I like this. This is what one man said. He said that praise is something that God has created man to do, and he gave man a spirit to praise him. Because through our spirits comes a knowledge of God. The flesh will not praise God. It's the spirit. And he said the spirit is the organ of praise. It's the organ of praise. Like there's certain organs that God has given us. The spirit is the organ of praise. When we praise God, we ought to praise him in our spirit. That's the difference between animate and inanimate. That's the difference in man and all other of God's creation. Though God has called upon all of his creation to praise him, God has a special way for you and I to praise him. We praise him in our spirit. Praise reverences God. Look, if you would, in Psalm 145. That's just a psalm or two back. Look at verse number 10. Psalm 145, verse number 10 says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. If there's anyone that should be praising God, it's you and I who are the children of God. Brethren, Hollywood's not praising God. You understand that, right? They're cursing God. And they're teaching our children to curse His name and to defame and to degrade that holy name. We are to praise Him. Our children need to hear us praising God. There's nothing wrong with you going around your home saying, praise the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. That's comely. Notice what He said here, if you would, in Psalm 147 again. He said in verse number 1, He said, unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. It's appropriate. It's fitting that we would praise the Lord. It's fitting. There's nowhere that it would be unfitting for you and I to praise the Lord. On the job, so, well, preacher, they won't let me praise God on the job. You praise God on the job. In the schoolhouse? Well, I can't mention that name in the schoolhouse. You mention that name in the schoolhouse. On the street, there's no place that it would not be comely, in order, proper to praise God. It's comely. Are you praising God? You praising Him? You praise Him today? You say, well, preacher, God knows. You know, sometimes that's kind of a self-defense that we have, isn't it? God knows I love Him, I don't have to tell Him. Oh, preacher, she knows I love her, I don't have to tell her. I pray to God that that's not the way we live our lives with everything and everyone else. Well, they know, so I don't have to tell them. They know probably because you've already told them, and it's encouraging for you to continue to tell them. Now, God wants us to praise Him. These praise psalms come from men of God, but God moved on them and told them, tell them to praise me, David. Tell them to praise me. Tell them. Praise them. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You praising the Lord? I say, well, preacher, it doesn't matter to God if I praise Him or not. God knows my heart. Well, let's see. Was it last week that we looked at those 10 lepers? Is Jesus God, brethren? If Jesus is not God, don't you celebrate Christmas now. All right? That's the only reason you should celebrate Christmas, if Jesus is God. If He's not, there's nothing to celebrate. Say amen with me now. There's absolutely nothing to celebrate around this time of year when it comes to this thing called Christmas if Jesus is not God. See, Muslims don't celebrate Christmas. Buddhists don't celebrate Christmas. Why? Buddha's not God. Muhammad's not God. Christians celebrate Christmas. Why? Because Jesus is God. That's why. And when people celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, they're praising God that Jesus, that God came in the flesh. Praise Him. Praise Him. What'd He say? He said, praise is comely. And He said that when we praise Him, it reverences Him. Around this time of the year, we ought to be praising God. Why? Because Jesus is God. That's why. That's why. He's God in the flesh. You do believe that, right? Now, I don't mean up here now. This is what this is all about. God became a man. Amen. My mind can't wrap around that. I can't get over that fact. God became a man for me. He did that for me. That's what we're celebrating. I want to bless His holy name. I just want to praise Him right now and thank Him that He did that for me. Me. God became a man for me. Suffered, bled, and died. Was buried and rose again for me. That's why I want to praise Him. It's comely. Don't tell me not to praise Him. Don't write up some kind of little order and some kind of little prohibition and think that's going to stop me from praising God. See, that's the secret, brethren. We could empty out a lot of our mental institutions. Listen, there's a lot of Christians, a lot of professing Christians. Their minds are filled with darkness. Why? They're not praising God. They're not praising the Lord. Their bodies are affected. They're weak. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and they're not praising God. They're living in defeat. They're living in sadness. They're living in bondage. Why? They're not praising God. Christians, not praising God. Are you praising God? Are you? So, well, I read the Bible today. That wasn't the question. Are you praising God? Well, I'm at church, aren't I? That's not the question. Are you praising God? Well, preacher, I have you know, I prayed today. I even prayed for you. Thank you. And I mean that. But that's not the question. Are you praising God? Have you told God, God, you're everything to me. God, I want to thank you. I love you. I praise you. I humble myself. I submit to you. God, I know that everything I am and everything I have is because of you. Have you praised him today? Praise is comely. It's fitting. It's in line. It's in order. It reverences God. You praised him? Make it a daily thing to praise God. I'm telling you, brethren, there's a lot of Christians weakly, sickly, mentally. They're disturbed because they're not praising God. You say, well, preacher, can you prove that? Well, you know I can. I'm not going to tell you something I couldn't prove from the Bible. Look at verse number 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now, how's God going to do that? Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah just for a moment. Isaiah chapter number 61. Do you know that if we would praise God, it not only reverences, but it refreshes. It refreshes. There's been times that I've been so low. Now, some of you sitting out there think, well, the preacher never gets low. He's always, you know, walking on a spiritual cloud 9. No. But when I get down, by the grace of Almighty God, I try to remember how to get up. I praise God. Can you praise God in the valley, preacher? Brother Tracy, I'm so glad you read that letter tonight. That dear lady lost everything. You know what she did? She stood up in the congregation of God's people and praised the Lord. That's where it's at, brethren. And she sang, He lives. He lives. Amen. That's real. That's where it's at right there. That's where it's at. I hope you didn't miss that. Isaiah 61, look if you would in verse number 3. God said, I've got a garment for you. It's a garment of praise. And he said, you know what it does? It's for heaviness. Psalm Isaiah 61, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Now listen, we all know Isaiah 61 verse 1 and 2, right? Jesus quoted it there in the temple when he was 12 years old, right? Amen. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. But see, that's where we close many times. But God said, I got something for you. I've got a garment I want you to wear. Look what he said it was in verse number 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, watch it now, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You say, preacher, I'm feeling a little low. Praise God. I'm feeling a little down. I feel a little burdened. Praise his holy name. And God will put a garment on you that will lift you, that will bind you, that will heal you. It's good for what ails you. What, preacher? Praise. Amen. It's been something that God has used in my life for many years, and I want to bless his holy name for it. It's nothing, listen, nothing for me. This is not about me. And we could go around this building, it's not about this one or this one or this one or this one. How do you carry on? How do you stay on top of things? How do you stay in the race? How do you keep God a priority? How do you keep from falling in this thing, preacher? Praise God, that's how. Praise him. Praise him. What am I going to praise him for, preacher? There's a long list. Amen. Amen. There's a roof on my head. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's shoes on my feet. Hallelujah to God. There's food on my table. How about you? Praise His holy name. Clothes on my back. God's given me a good wife, a good family. As far as I know, I have good health. My sins are forgiven. My name's written in heaven. Hey, I'm going to heaven. Amen. I want to praise His holy name. Bless His holy name. Amen. Been good to me. Very, very, very good to me. And if I were to ever get to the place, and I've been there, where I wondered, God, what's going on in my life? God, I feel like I've been turned upside down. There's been times that I felt like, now don't mistake what I'm saying here. I didn't say I didn't have anything to praise God for. I said I felt like that I didn't have anything to praise God for. You know what the Spirit of God told me? Praise Him for what you don't have. Because you could be riddled with disease. And so there's times that we may not feel like that we can praise God for what we have, but thank God that we can just turn and say, God, I thank You that I don't have some things. I'm glad I don't have a terminal disease. I'm glad I don't have a nagging wife. I'm glad I don't have wayward children. Listen to me now. I'm glad I don't have complaining church members. We could come to church and everybody could complain to one another and we could bite and devour one another and get out in the parking lot and fight. Say, well, I wanted the chairs to be blue. Well, I wanted them to be green. Well, they're going to be brown, brother, or else. It can happen. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. God's been good to us. Praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. You say, well, preacher, somehow I just think it could be better. Oh, it's going to get better. Hey, man, if you're saved, this is the worst you're going to have it. Praise the Lord. Praise reverences God. Back in Psalm 147, the psalmist said, praise the Lord, it's comely, he said. He said, it's good. In verse number 1, he said, it's good to sing praises unto our God. I want to say amen. Amen. It's good to praise the Lord. You praising Him? I don't know about this praising stuff, preacher. You better get in on it. It's the garment of praise that lifts from heaviness. So I just feel like I got the spirit of depression. What you need is the garment of praise. I feel alone, and I feel like that God has forsaken me. What you need to understand is that God inhabits an area and a people when praise is in order. When people begin to praise Him, you say, boy, it'd be good to come to church every time we meet and sense and know the presence of God in a special way. Well, I tell you what you do. But on the way to church, you just begin to praise Him so you can bring some of that praise with you, and you'd be amazed what God will do. Amen. Quit thinking about, you know, the fight you got into with your wife on the way to church, or the ill will you have toward another member, or whatever else is going on in your life. You got to listen, you got to learn what it is to block that stuff out and say, God, in spite of all these things that are going on, seems like the world's gone crazy. People blowing each other up, people threatening our lives, our children's lives, all these things around us, but that hasn't changed one thing. God is still God. Amen. And He's on the throne. And I can bless His holy name. And so I want to bless Your name, Lord. In the midst of a changing world, I want to thank You, God, and I want to praise You that You're not changing. Amen. Praise Him. Amen. You praising God? It's good for what ails you. Amen. So, well, preacher, if you knew my lot in life, you wouldn't praise God. Really? I believe I could talk to you 5 minutes. I don't even think it'd take that long. I could give you many reasons to praise the Lord. Actually, if you can hear the sound of my voice, I can give you about 4 or 5 right now. You're breathing, or you wouldn't be able to hear the sound of my voice. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Number 2, if you can hear my voice, you can hear. You're not deaf. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 There's a lot of folks, listen, they don't get to hear the birds sing. Hear me now. They don't get to hear the beautiful instruments and the beautiful singing. They don't get to hear the beautiful sounds that God, listen, that God puts out there for us to hear. All the beautiful noises. Remember when you first got saved? Oh, listen, I can still remember it like it was yesterday. I remember the first time I took note and I said, my goodness, that bird sounds great. You say, preacher, you're just saying that. I'm just saying it because it's so. I never really took note. It had been a long time. I was just a kid and I used to listen to the birds sing. When I got saved, I started hearing the birds sing again. I said, praise God. What beautiful sounds. So if you can hear my voice, you might be thinking, well, I'm in a bad way. Now, I'm not going to doubt that you might not be in a valley right now. I'm not going to doubt that there's some things maybe that's not going the way that you'd like to see them go in your life. But God has a purpose for those things. The first thing you need to do is evaluate and see that you're not the cause of that purpose, that you're not the cause of the situation that you're in. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. That's right. So number one, praise reverences. Number two, praise refreshes. Right? Right? So you got to get out of that self-centered and get into the God-centered life. You know what self-centered does? Self-centered says, it's all about me. And so I don't have a reason to praise God. Or I this, or I that. Get out of that. Get out of that self-centered and get into the God-centered life. And stop looking at what's going on with you and start looking at what's going on with God, and you'll have something to praise Him for. You'll praise God every day of your life. Now, this is not simple. It takes work. You got to have a mindset. I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to realize this is a day that the Lord has made. And I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. Did you know I could get up tomorrow and I could find many reasons not to rejoice? And you could too. It's all what you're looking for. Right? Yeah. You can get up tomorrow and find a reason not to rejoice. One is you got up. Amen. Maybe it was 4:30 a.m. Another maybe because you're going to a job that's on the outside and it's going to be cold in the morning. I don't know. You can find reasons. But I want to tell you, for every reason you can find not to rejoice, you can find a reason to rejoice. It's up to you. Praise refreshes. Then the third thing, look at it here. Praise not only refreshes us, but it releases faith. I like what one man said. He said, faith is praise turned inside out. I like that. Faith is praise turned inside out. Look if you at verse 4. He said, He telleth the number of the stars. I could stop right there and just really, I read stuff like that and it just boggles my mind. God in heaven knows my name. The God of heaven knows who I am. That just boggles my mind. Not only does He know my name, He's made me part of His family. This God, He telleth the number of the stars. That's why I don't have a problem praising Him, amen. He calleth them all by their names. Isn't that something? Millions, billions, myriad of stars out there, and God has got every one of them named. That's our God. And we're going to get up tomorrow and fret and worry about a $200 bill. We're going to worry about $1,000 something or this or that or a little situation. And the God that we're praising, the God that we're trusting, has put every star in its place. He created and aligned the planets. He formed man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and here we are. And we're going to get up tomorrow and say, well, you know, I wish there was something that could be done. There's something that can be done. You want God to show up? Praise Him. God will get involved in your situation when you begin to praise Him. Young people, don't you miss this thing. So, now, preacher, I just don't know. People might think I'm a fanatic. Let me tell you something about people, okay? Every young person, I want you to look up here at the preacher. Now, I think probably some of our middle-aged and older people need to hear this too. Did you know it doesn't matter what you do in life, people's going to label you. They're going to label you, okay? So go ahead and do what is right so that when they label you, they can label you right. Okay, because they're going to label you somehow. They're going to label you. Everyone's going to have a label. The preacher's a loudmouth. Listen, I know what folks think about me. He preaches too long. He preaches too loud. Some people, well, you know, it's this, that. I'm going to be who God wants me to be. Can I tell you, you be who God wants you to be. When you go to trying to listen to what people want you to be, you're messing up. You're messing up. Be what God wants you to be. It's much easier to be who God made you than what people want you to be. Everybody say, listen, folks, come on, help me out. These young people need to know that what I'm speaking to them is truth. So I need a word. Listen, I need somebody to give me a witness here to these young people. Is that right, folks? You better believe that's right. We've got a group of young people who are being intimidated by these God deniers and these Bible deniers and these Christ haters, and they want them to stay away from church and not serve God, and they want them to be ashamed of God and not praise Him. We need to teach our young people, you praise His holy name. Everything you have in life, everything you hope to be in life, is because of the great God of heaven. Bless His holy name. Listen, it's not in a wrestler. It's not in a football player. Hear me now. It's not in a football team. It's not in any one of these Hollywood stars and these rock and roll music groups. Listen, life, the way God intended it to be, is found in this book right here. You get in this book and you follow the God of this book, and you will be able to praise God all the days of your life. You praising Him? He said, He telleth the stars, He calleth them all by their names. Look at verse number 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Aren't you glad that God lifted you up? The same God that flung up the stars lifted you up out of the horrible pit. And then we're going to say, well, you know, preacher, what have I got to praise Him for? Remember when the disciples came back after that circuit they went on when Jesus sent them out, and they came back and they said, oh, man, whoo, you're not going to believe what happened today. Even the devils are subject unto us in Thy name. And the Lord Jesus said, you guys missed it. That's all you got to come back with me with. The devils are subject unto you. Did you realize that there might be a time or two that the devil wouldn't be subject unto you? That's right. You want to stay excited? Remember to stay excited on things that never change. The devil's being subject to you might change. But your name being written in heaven is not going to change. And so in Luke 10:20, Jesus said, listen, rejoice not because the devils are subject unto you in my name, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You want something to praise God for? You're going to heaven if you're saved. If that doesn't stir you up, there's nothing else that can stir you up. We are going to heaven. Amen. It's real. You say, preacher, you're trying to pump us up? If I have to pump you up, my goodness. If I can't just tell you we're going to heaven, if you're saved, your sins forgiven, and that doesn't do it, there's nothing else I can say to get you. Listen, amen. If you're not going to praise God there, amen. If you're not going to stop right there and say, praise the Lord, amen, I'm going to heaven, there's nothing else I can say that's going to stir you. You're going to heaven if you're saved. Well, I'm not excited. I think I know why a lot of people that's sitting in churches, maybe some here tonight, because you're religious but not saved. Got a lot of religious people not saved. They have absolutely no desire in their heart. They're just going through the motions. Don't listen. Don't deceive yourself. Don't do that. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be through. Well, I'm going to close with this. It's time to close. Look at this. Praise resist. I want you to listen very carefully here, okay? We have an enemy. When I get up in the morning, there's a few things that I do every morning when I get up. When I get up in the morning, I know I'm going to fight a battle. And so I don't even get out of my bed by the grace of God now. And you don't have to do it this way. People are different. But by the grace of God, before I even get up out of my bed, I did it this morning, I'll do it tomorrow morning, I did it yesterday morning. Before I even get up, I lay there in my bed, and I look up toward heaven, and I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for protecting my family through the night, Lord. Thank you for giving us a good night's sleep. And thank you for giving me another day to serve you. Amen. And I try, in my heart, to praise the Lord. God, I just want to thank you and I want to praise you. I try to remember what God has done for me in my life. I try to remember what I have to do that day, and I realize, God, I can't do a lot of these things if you don't help me. I'm going to see such and such and they're in trouble. God, I don't have anything to tell that brother. God, would you give me something to help that man? I'm going to see this married couple and I'm going to cancel with them. And God, if you don't give me something to give them, the devil may break their family up. God, please give me something to help them with. I've got some things I'm going to face, Lord. And if you don't help me, I'm not going to get it done. I believe you do that. I hope that you do. You ought to begin every day praising the Lord. But can I tell you, there's an enemy. And the enemy will say, get on up. Get on up. You don't have to praise the Lord. Just get on up. Just go on through your day. You can praise Him as you go. There's an enemy. And he tries to keep us from praising the Lord. Oh, listen, the devil's allergic to praise. Did you hear me? I said the devil is allergic to praise. That's why when people get to praising God, they're so full of the devil, it bothers them. The devil doesn't like praise. They get around a group of people that's just full of joy and praise, and they feel out of place. I feel right at home. Amen. Boy, when I come to Fellowship Baptist Church and people praising the Lord, and I see people shaking their head. Listen, like I said, you don't have to turn a cartwheel, but people just there shaking their head and smiling. Amen, preacher. Amen. I feel what you're saying. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. But there's an enemy. Praise. It reverences, it refreshes, it releases, it resists. Praise resists the devil. The devil's allergic to praise. He hates praise. See, he's jealous. And he doesn't want God getting praise. And that's why he tries to shut my mouth. And that's why he tries to shut your mouth. And that's why he wants us to murmur against God. Because he doesn't want God to receive praise and adoration. And so he tries to get us murmuring and complaining. He tries to shut the mouths of God's people. Let me give you a couple of these verses. Turn, if you would, these two verses, and then we'll close. This was R.G. Lee. I don't know if you've... Psalm 34, this was R.G. Lee's favorite verse of Scripture. Don't know if you know who R.G. Lee was, or is. R.G. Lee's more alive now than he's ever been. What a great man of God. What a preacher. R.G. Lee, this was his favorite verse of Scripture. I pray that you would commit this Scripture to memory. Psalm 34, verse number 1. I want to give everyone opportunity to find that before we close this service. I want you to read these two verses of Scripture with me. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What about you? So I don't know if I can bless the Lord at all times. Sure you can. It's a choice. It's not if you can. It's will you? Will you bless the Lord? Will I bless the Lord? Will we bless the Lord at all times? It's not a matter if we can or can't. It's a matter if we will or will not. The psalmist said, I will. Amen? That's what he said. Look at it. I will. It's my will, which means I have a choice. Why? Because we're free moral agents. My will's involved here. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What a great verse of Scripture. Could I encourage you to commit that verse of Scripture to memory and ask God, God, help us to live this. Help us to continue to bless your name. When food's on the table and when it's scarce. When I'm on the mountaintop or whether I'm in the valley. Whether I'm feeling free as a bird or whether I'm feeling in bondage as a mule. Whether I feel like I'm on top or at the bottom. Whether I feel like everything's going right or everything's going wrong. I will continually bless and praise the name of God. You say, preacher, will that change anything? I believe it does change things. I believe praise changes things. And then Psalm 57, and this will be the final scripture before we close. Psalm 57, look if you would in verse number 7. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Tonight, brethren, I want you to know that your pastor's heart is fixed. It's settled. By the good grace of God, I'm going to continue to give Him praise. I made that choice a long time ago. You say, preacher, do you ever complain? Well, my wife's not in here. She'd be able to answer that for you. Sure I do. I'm not proud of that. I'm not. Sometimes I wish I was double jointed so I could kick my own self in the tail. I'm serious. I feel so dirty and filthy because I'm unthankful. And I murmur. And I don't want to do that. I want to praise God continually. And I don't want the devil to win. I'm a very competitive soul. Very competitive. And more of my competitiveness, now that I can't do it physically, is turned into a spiritual warfare with me. You know what? I think that's a good thing for me. I don't compete with my boys anymore. I used to. I did. I never let them win. You say, oh, preacher, I'll let them win every now and then. Never. They beat me, they're going to have to do it fair and square. Right about the time I thought they could start beating me, I said, boys, this stuff of being competitive in this way is just not spiritual. Amen. You remember that, Todd. You got two coming up there, bud. I'm about sick and tired of you being carnal. Amen. Seriously. God has turned it in with me, and I take it personal. I don't want the devil to win. How about you? Will you get up in the morning with this on your mind and in your heart? I'm going to praise the Lord. How often am I going to do it? Continually. Continually. I'm going to give Him praise. In the morning? Yep. In the midday? Yep. The afternoon? I'm going to praise the Lord by the good grace of God. I'm going to bless His holy name. His praise shall be on my lips continually. I'm going to praise Him. The devil's going to come and say, oh, but what about this? I'm going to praise the Lord. But what about this? I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. Let us be a people of praise. What about it, church? Let's praise the Lord. Is He worthy? Amen. He's worthy. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. Now I want to put a garrison around my heart so the devil can't break through and break it. And break my will. And cause me not to want to praise my God. Cause me to complain and murmur and gripe against my God. I don't want to do that. I want to say my God is good. My God is merciful. My God is loving and kind. And He's been better to me than I deserve. And I want to praise His holy name. What about you? Let's bow our heads together. It's not a question, as the pianist begins to play, if we have anything to praise the Lord for. That's not a question tonight. The question is, are we going to praise Him? We all know we have something to praise Him for. What about you? You're going to come down here and kneel with these tonight and say, God, I'm going to praise You. In the morning, in the midday, in the afternoon, in the evening, God, Your praise is continually going to be on my lips. Remind me, dear Lord. Remind me. When I become sluggish and I become a little downcast or I become a little discouraged, God, remind me that though I'm discouraged, I can still praise You. Though I've failed You, Lord, and I've let You down, You can restore me and I can still praise You. What about it? What about it? What about it, young people? We've got some young folks at the altar. What about you, young lady? Young man, are you going to commit to God tonight a fixed heart? God, tonight, November the 26th, 2017, tonight, I'm going to fix my heart, oh God. I'm going to fix it on the fact that come what may, I'm going to praise your holy name. My heart is fixed. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people.